Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Records Guy Podcast, the show that focuses on topics and individuals from the field of records management. Here's your host, Richard Goreski.
I don't know, is this thing on? Great to be back. It's been too long since our last show. Kind of feels like I should do a mic test or something to make sure this thing still works. Check, mic check, 1, 2, 3, check. I've been off the air so long that you could actually eat inside of a restaurant the last time I did a podcast. Really, you could actually go to a restaurant and eat there inside, dine-in. In all seriousness, I hope that everyone listening is healthy and safe. We could all use a break from COVID-19, and that's why I asked our guest today to join us. If you're looking for someone who's interesting, filled with positivity, and who has the power to turn that frown upside down, then today's guest is just what the doctor ordered. When she's not starring in podcasts or giving 5-star presentations on records and information management, she has a day job where she serves as the records manager and history officer for NASA's Glenn Research Center in Cleveland, Ohio. Please welcome Ann Mills. Thanks so much for coming on the show today, Ann. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, Rick, how's it going? It's so good to be here. I'm super excited. I've never done a podcast before, and I feel like I should add it to my bucket list just so I can cross it off. So this is going to be super fun.
Maybe you get hooked on it. I hope you'll love it. I know our audience is going to love hearing from you. So we've been talking about doing this podcast for quite some time now, and we're finally here. And all these things I want to ask and that I think people are going to want to hear, and yet the biggest thing that I need to ask you is whether you got to see the Golden Girls puppet show. In the background, the background on this for everybody is that ARBA Milwaukee was fortunate enough to have Ann present in March. That was before everything started to get serious with the COVID stuff, before things started closing down. And while Ann's here, she's casually tells me about this puppet show about the Golden Girls, and my mind's been blown ever since. So the world needs to know, did you get to see Dorothy, Blanche, Sophia, and Rose?
So the show was on Saturday at Playhouse Square in Cleveland, and unfortunately that Friday they shut down all the theaters, and I did not get to see the Golden Girls puppet show. I am confident it will be rescheduled, because I can't not see it.
Me too.
So sorry to
and everybody else.
Bad news.
Don't judge me. It was on TV when I grew up. That was kind of a Saturday night staple. But anyway, I went home and Googled it the night that you told me, and I just can't get it out of my head. So speaking of zany questions, working at NASA, I'm sure family and friends, people that you meet, I bet they ask you kind of the same questions over and over. You know, do you work with astronauts? Have you met John Glenn? Along those lines, and feel free to answer those. But I assume you've been asked more than your share of weird questions. So do you have any funny stories that come to mind or certain questions that you can, you know, tell us about that people ask you all the time?
To answer the weird questions that you asked already, I do occasionally work with astronauts, not in their astronaut capacity. A lot of times after they're done with their flight careers, they'll come and do managerial stuff at some of the different centers. I have met John Glenn, but some of the people always ask about aliens, like, where'd you keep the aliens? And then people always get super confused when I tell them that, you know, I live in Cleveland and I tell people that I work at NASA, and they're just like, oh, so like, how does that work? Do you like go to Florida for the week or Houston and then come home on the weekends? Like, what's up with that? So people even in Cleveland don't realize that there is a NASA center in Cleveland. So that's one that kind of gets asked a lot.
They ask you about aliens? Anybody?
Yeah. They want to know, like, where do we hide them?
Where do you hide them?
And I would tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. No, I'm kidding. Like, I'm not here to talk about any NASA official positions on anything. I'm just records manager.
This is why you're the best. So this is why you're the best. We'll do an episode later on where to hide your alien. So let us let the audience learn more about you. You have this super cool job at a place that most people would consider to be one of the absolute coolest places in the world to work, NASA. And while we will get into that, let's first hear about you and how you got to this point. So you mentioned Cleveland. Have you always lived near Cleveland? Where did you go to school? What kind of hobbies? How did you get into records? So if you could please tell us about your journey. How did you become the famous Ann Mills?
Yeah, sure. So I always like to think that I started my records management career as a wee lass of 6 years old back in the day when before debit cards were a thing and you had to write a check for everything. And not only did you have to write a check for everything, the bank would send you back your checks every month. So that was my job when I was a little kid, was to take the big stack of checks that you'd get back from the bank and put them in numerical order and interfile the ones that took a long time to come back. But yeah, I've always lived in Cleveland. I actually started my career with NASA in high school as a high school intern, working in the procurement area, doing filing, contract closeout type activities, like administrative stuff that you can let a teenager do. And I did that for 4 summers. And at the end of my 4th summer, it was the maximum you could do. The boss there said, you know what, if you're willing to change your major, you know, by this time I was in college and I was a history major at Albemarle College in Berea, Ohio, go Jackets. He said, if you're willing to change your major from history to business, I would be totally willing to bring you on as a co-op and you could train to be a contract specialist and you'd have a permanent full-time job here at NASA. You know, I was 19 years old and I said, that's really, really awesome and super nice of you to offer, but that sounds super boring. Like, I have no desire to be a contract specialist. So, I left NASA at that point, went on to get my history degree, decided I wanted to go to library school. So I went to University of Maryland College Park and I thought I was going to be an archivist. I had been working in the archivist, the history office at Baldwin Wallace, got really interested in that. Didn't even know that was a career field. Like, I had known about librarians and that kind of stuff, but didn't know that there was, you know, this almost like a librarian for history stuff. So while I was in library school and they kind of start talking more about the life cycle of records and how things end up in archives and this whole field of records management. And it just really appealed to me. I just found it fascinating. I liked the immediate business application of it, whereas, you know, no shade to archivists, but like you do all this work and very detail-oriented processing, and I realized I'm not a detail-oriented person. And then, you know, someday someone might happen to be doing research in that niche area and it might get looked at. So I really liked the business application of records management and how it adds value right away to all different kinds of organizations. So at that point, I was looking for, I was living in DC while I was in graduate school, did not like it, Midwest girl at heart, wanted to get back to Ohio. And lo and behold, like, God was smiling on me, a co-op position back at NASA Glenn doing archives and records management was open. And I called and I said, there's literally no one else on planet Earth who could do this job as well as I can. I've got the background. I've got the knowledge. I'm going to school for this. I love NASA. I know the people. And they hired me. And that was kind of how I got started on this journey back at NASA doing records management. I've been here for 15 years now.
That's right. And today you're the records manager and history officer for NASA. Is that, did I get
right.
the title right?
Right.
So regarding that position, Could you tell us a little bit about what you actually do?
So I kind of like to think of myself as the keeper of institutional knowledge. So I do all the records management stuff, which presumably a lot of your audience will be familiar with all of those kinds of processes and programs that records managers do. But as the history officer, I kind of, you know, that continuing that life cycle of records, we do have an archives and an archivist. I kind of serve as the face. The archivist is the brains behind the operation, but when there needs to be a presentation or, you know, kinds of public-facing things about NASA history, just by nature of doing the records and knowing the history of the center, I get assigned that role. So I go and I do a lot of special topic presentations on NASA Glenn specifically topics. And I kind of wear a lot of hats otherwise as well. So splitting my time with majority is records management and the history stuff, but do a lot of kind of managerial things. We do have support service contractors that provide a lot of our services. So there's some just day-to-day things that are involved with managing a contract and temporarily serving as the, we call it scientific and technical information manager. So that's kind of all that research that is our product, really. So journal articles and conference proceedings and presentations that our scientists and researchers go out. There's a very specific process that manages that dissemination of information. So I'm kind of overseeing that now as well. Every day is different, to say the least.
Well, speaking of different, with COVID-19 causing many employers to work, our employees, employers, to kind of shift to a remote reality, people working from home, I'm working from home, my team's working from home, I'm wondering what, if any, effect the entire COVID situation has had on you and your team. How are you holding up in this new remote reality?
So we're really, really lucky. I mean, NASA, if anyone's going to know about how to work remotely, it's NASA. I mean, the International Space Station is about the remotest workplace you can get. so we've been doing really well. We've had to suspend some activities in records management with, you know, obviously like physical boxes of records. But NASA's really done a really great job of automating a lot of things, transitioning from paper to electronic records and processes. So my team and I, we've been able to, this is day, what is this on my calendar? Day 34 in a row of working from home, and we've been able to work full time doing meaningful work. And what's nice is we're kind of, you look for the opportunity in every bad situation. So we've got a couple initiatives going on. A lot of the scientists and researchers are home. Obviously, you're not going to be doing a lot of science and research from home. So maybe you have a little more time to do those administrative things that you like to put off. So we're putting out email blasts and just things communicating, hey, now is a really great time to clean out those shared drives, clean out your SharePoints, all those collaborative workspaces that you have. Give us a call. We can do a virtual cleanup. So we've been doing some of those. We're also working towards Office of Management budget mandate that by, like, government-wide, by 2023, all federal records need to be managed electronically. So right now, kind of, where are those paper records at? Working from home is really shining a light on where those pockets of paper records still are, because, you know, all of a sudden people are home and it's like, oh, snap, I can't do this. Like, I don't have access to this. My file cabinets, or this form doesn't have an electronic signature on it, so it gets routed manually. So we're putting out a center-wide data call to have people report that stuff to us. That way we can do that gap analysis and find out where we need to do better. Where are these paper records, and what are the hurdles we need to overcome in order to meet that electronic records mandate? And what's nice is that, you know, the management is really focused on giving a lot of attention to telework and telework efficiencies. So we can couch this activity kind of around that, as opposed to highlighting, hey guys, this is a records management action that we need. And like, they don't care. I mean, mama didn't raise no fool. I know people aren't excited about records like I am. So kind of by riding the coattails of the telework thing, we're able to squeeze out some good data that's going to be useful for us.
For anybody that's listening, that in a nutshell, that is one of the things about Anne. That is such an interesting and great way to go about kind of leveraging the situation and turning something that is kind of an obstacle into a positive, into an opportunity. So if I could, that's just a big compliment to you. That's really cool to hear that you're doing that to kind of capture those spots where maybe paper records are and try to get people on board. I recall from your presentation for ARMA Milwaukee that NASA has, what was it, 10 different locations with records managers.
Right.
Could you share again for everybody how that splits out? Because that is a fascinating part of the equation for those of us that are in the RIM and IG profession to think about how difficult it would be to help kind of get everybody on the same page with that many different locations and managers and different ways of doing things. So please tell us about that.
Right. So that's kind of a surprising thing that a lot of people don't realize. Like, NASA is not Houston and Kennedy Space Center. There are 10 different NASA centers. Most of them are in the South or out in California. We're the lone Midwestern flyover country center. But yeah, they're all different. You know, we all answer to headquarters, and there's an agency records manager, but each individual center has its own records manager and a records management program. And we do our best to kind of centralize the things that we can, but each center has its own culture and its own flavor. And it's almost feudal. And this is not unique to records management, but every center wants to have its own way of doing things. And we're doing a lot better in terms of, you know, enterprise-wide type things, getting everyone on the same page. You know, records management, not the mission of NASA. So there are, you know, they don't give it the resources to do kind of some of that centralization, but we do what we can. But, you know, a center that does, center like Johnson in Houston, that's operations, that's doing, you know, training astronauts and doing things that are very mission, well, everything is mission or, but operations type work. Whereas a center like Glenn here in Cleveland is a research center. So we do an entirely different type of work that kind of, you know, has different needs in terms of records management. So the struggle is real, but I think we do a pretty good job. We have a really great team.
And the thing that I think everyone can take away that works within this particular profession is that sometimes you always think the grass is greener on the other side. You always think that, you know, oh, gosh, you know, I remember going to a speaking meeting and hearing a gentleman from a university speak, and he started talking about how difficult the struggle was to get people to follow the policies and how, you know, they hadn't implemented this and they hadn't implemented that. And I'm looking at him going, but wait, I just had this image in my mind that you're teaching this stuff, so you guys must have it just perfect. You know, everybody
right.
experiences a lot of the same problems. So hopefully that's a little bit heartening for everybody out there that we're all kind of going through the same things. We're all human.
Yeah. If you,
so,
if you can show me an organization or a company that has perfect records management, like through and through, I'd love to see it.
So speaking of records management, what is a day like in the life of someone who works with records at NASA? I mean, you have a giant room with huge shelves. Do the records float?
Yes, we send them through wormholes. And so, yeah, like every day is good. Well, obviously, it's very different now because we're all working from home. But as far as standard operations, you know, a lot of things have moved electronic. So we're working out how do we convert our kind of traditional paper-based systems and processes that we've perfected over the years, and how do we translate those into like a virtual environment. We do manage our own inactive records storage facility, and they are in World War II era dynamite bunkers. So unfortunately, that's something we're not doing right now, is processing those paper-based records. One of the big activities we have going on right now is our annual file plan and inventory activity. So we've got organizations submitting their plans to us, and we're going through them with a fine-tooth comb, making sure they have the right retention schedules, asking follow-up questions, asking about, you know, why is there like nothing on this? Like, clearly, as the, you know, widget, wind tunnel, whatever research division, you should have something on here other than bank card and travel records. So we kind of follow up with those kinds of questions. We do a lot of very customer service oriented. So we don't want, you know, I think a lot of people look at records as we are a compliance function, and we rule with an iron fist, and it's about compliance. You know, we do know that that is part of it, but we want to be seen as customer service, value-added activity, because it really is. Records management makes sense. Like, I don't need to hide behind this is the rule and you must follow it. Like, I want to say, hey, we can do this, and it has this benefit. So we want people to get in touch with us and let us know how we can help them. So it's a good balance, I think, of like push and pull kinds of activities. We get a lot of calls about, you know, help me clean out this thing. How long do I have to keep this? That kind of stuff. People working from home are starting to like, oh, I really need to get this SharePoint in order, or I want to set up a SharePoint site. Hey, let me start right. So records management, what does right look like? How is a good file structure set up? You know, good opportunities to do more marketing, make sure even though we're not on site, people know that we're here and we're providing them with services. My day has not been, like I said before, every day is different. So far today I've done a reference question about Neil Armstrong, pitched a plan to standardize how we justify non-standard laptop request purchasing. So nothing records management related yet, but I am doing a lot of work for the agency, and I'm working on a retention schedule portal / search tool for the entire agency to use. So I will spend a good chunk of the afternoon tweaking that and doing some more troubleshooting. So that's what's exciting today.
Well, you forgot to mention the zero gravity button for, you know, or the eject button for nasty customers. Coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
You have a
Sorry
lot of other really
it.
Cool
well,
stuff, though, don't you?
I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm going to humble brag that I have done some pretty seriously cool stuff, and I'm going to make your listeners really jealous. Guessing I'm the only records manager in the history of records managers who has been a human test subject on a zero-gravity treadmill. That was really cool.
Wow.
I got to, there's, if you do a Google search or, you know, YouTube search for zero gravity treadmill, NASA Glenn, you'll find video of it. One of the areas they do research on here is exercise countermeasures for astronauts. So when you're long duration space missions, you're not doing any weight bearing exercises and you start to suffer muscle and bone loss. So they're working to design exercises and exercise equipment for astronauts to do in small spaces and to kind of head off some of that bone loss and different medical issues that they have. So I was part of that test. I guess they helped develop new harnesses that are more comfortable. So not records management related, but very, very cool. I got to watch Apollo 13 in the actual Mission Control Center at Johnson. That was super surreal. So, like, we're watching the movie, and then we're actually sitting at the seats of the different control booths, and we're like acting out the different scenes of the movie. It was super awesome. And then at Kennedy, like, you know, they take you around and they show you different you know, this is when the shuttle was still flying, and I got to go see the space shuttle. It was right after, right before we were going to return to flight. This was after the Columbia accident, and all the shuttle fleet was grounded, and they're getting ready to launch again, and they took me in to see Discovery, which was going to be the next shuttle to fly. And so I got to kick the tires and give it a little good luck pat on the nose. But I was like, what? There's alligators here. And I like spent the whole trip like wanting to find alligators. Like, you get to kick the space shuttle and you're like wanting to go see alligators. So that tells you it all about what a spaz I can be.
No, that is so you. The space shuttle is really cool, but where's the gator? One of the things that comes out in speaking with you, and I think everybody can already see it, is just how positive you are and how you like to find innovative ways to get buy-in for your records program. So would you mind sharing a story or two with everybody about ways you've gone about communicating and training on records and information management?
Yeah. Well, I will say I use a lot of memes in my training materials. But I know everyone has felt like you've sat through really boring training before and you just kind of zone out, or you've walked by the same awareness poster that someone's put out because it's nothing engaging about it. It's an obvious check the box activity for whoever did it. And you know, when you develop training and communications, it's not for you, like it's for your audience. So I think about, what kind of training would I like to sit through? What kind of poster on the wall would get my attention? And then, you know, it's a sign of respect for your audience in a way. But we've done some really cool, we're really lucky at NASA to have an amazing audiovisual team. And I wrote a cool little script for an animated video that talks about, the first one was, you know, we had an issue with, back in the day, people would take records home with them because, you know, they're scientists, they've worked on this their whole life, they feel an intense personal ownership of these materials, they don't trust people to take care of them, like evil records managers who are just going to shred them someday, so they would take them home. And we had a retiree who had gone into a nursing home, the son had called us and said, hey, I have like 200 boxes of stuff, like, let's say NASA on them. Like, do you guys want this stuff? So, that was definitely the most dramatic, but we have had plenty of situations where we've had to recover records. It's not as big of an issue now, but it is, you know, something we don't want to, something we want to make people aware of. Like, don't do that. It's not good. So we wrote this like cute little kind of Dr. Seuss inspired poem about leaving your records when you go. And they were able to animate it, and it was like kind of Rick got to see it. It's kind of funny and cute. And I think that it puts your audience in the mindset of, it's not on the defensive. It's not like, this is the rule and you should, according to CFR, blah, 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 you need to do this. And then, you know, anyone who wants to do what they're going to do is just going to be like, so watch me. But if you put it in kind of a friendlier term, you know, they're a lot more responsive. Like, oh, okay, well, that kind of makes more sense. So we did a follow-on video as well about you know, knowing what a record is. It was, you know, the first video was such a hit, we had to do a second one. But yeah, that's kind of the attitude we take in. What's that?
A sequel.
The sequel, yes. Part two. Yeah, but that's our attitude, is when we're doing any kind of outreach, whether it be training, communications, marketing, it has a spirit of fun with it, because we want people to know that we're there for them, that, you know, what we're going to do might not be super fun, but you're going to have an ally on your side who is going to make it as painless as possible, who is approachable, who's friendly. I think people are really intimidated by records management. They're like afraid of, like, oh, I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to do something wrong. It's like, you know, it's important, but we're here for you, and we're going to make it as easy as possible, and we're going to do it together. So having this kind of playful marketing you know, and it's not unprofessional. I think people kind of confuse, non-informal with unprofessional. And I think that's kind of the wrong way to look at it, because, the message is, it's not going to suck. We're going to have fun together and we're going to get through it.
I think I just came up with a new campaign. Records management. It's not going to suck. So, if I could, what kind of advice, because first of all, you are correct, and it is professional. I did see the videos that Anne's talking about. They're fantastic. It catches your eye. It engages the individual that you want to watch it. And that is really difficult to do sometimes if people aren't really interested in the topic. So that is a major kudos to you and anyone else that is out there thinking about these kinds of things. Walk down that road. There's some really cool stuff. If you think outside the box and if you're innovative, you can really think of some cool stuff like Anne did. Now, speaking of things that you've done, what advice? So let's say there's somebody who's just starting out or interested in getting into our profession in some form, regardless, RIM, IG, archives, or other related information, professions. What advice would you give somebody who's considering a career?
I'll give like a practical, like RM kind of advice first, RIM field stuff is talk to people. People in this community are some of the friendliest. If you listen to Rick, he's like probably do anything for any one of you out there, but it's a very giving profession. So talk to people. Like, I didn't even know records management. I had known about archivists and historians and things, but I didn't know records management was a thing. And I feel like I might have kind of stumbled upon that a little bit earlier if I had reached out to people and just asked them about their profession and their past. And like, don't be afraid to talk to people. They want to talk about their profession and what they do. If you're kind of early in your career, stay up to date on stuff, do webinars, join professional societies. It's such a rapidly changing field. It's hard to keep up with, but it's so important for that continuing education. And then just kind of, maybe it's less career advice or partial career advice, but more like life advice is just be who you are. I could have very easily said, okay, I'll change who I am and become a contract specialist and live a very boring and unauthentic life. But I took a risk and I turned it down. And I ended up exactly where I was supposed to be. I don't do traditional training and communications because that's not who I am. So, you can't control how people think of you. So you might as well just be yourself. And I think being authentic is one of the keys to a successful career and, a happy life.
That's great advice. And if you follow that, you could be the next Anne Mills. So my producer is pointing at their watch.
Anne Mills, be the next you.
But they're pointing at their watch. I can't believe it's already been a half an hour. We're running a little low on time, so it's just been so much fun talking with you, Anne. I feel like we could just go for another half an hour without blinking an eye. But let's move. Do you have any parting thoughts, anything that you'd like to share as we wind down the show?
Oh, this has been super fun. I can't believe it's already been a half hour. I feel like I talked a lot longer. But I guess I'll bring it full circle with the Golden Girls and say thank you for being a friend, Rick.
You are so good. This is incredible. So I almost forgot to ask, is there some contact information that you'd like to share? Or if people have questions, do you have a blog that people could follow, Twitter, anything like that?
No, I'm not that cool. I don't have a blog or a Twitter. I'm kind of very inactive on LinkedIn, but I do love getting questions and I do love talking to people, especially about marketing, records management programs. So I have a very short and easy email address and you're welcome to shoot me an email. It is just Anne with an E, A-N-N-E, dot Mills, M-I-L-L-S, at nasa.gov, G-O-V.
That is super cool. Anne, I can't thank you enough for coming on today's show. Seriously, you raised my profile. I likely took yours down several notches, so thank you for doing this. It's been a great time, but that's going to do it for today's show. Until next time, I'm Richard Goreski, thanking my guest on today's show, the awesome Anne Mills, for joining me. So long, everyone. Thanks again, Anne.
Well, that's the end of the life cycle for this show. If you'd like to reach the host or one of his guests, you can contact the show via email at Goreski1 at yahoo.com. That's G-U-R-E-S-K-I and the number 1 at yahoo.com. Until next time, thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode of the Records Guy Podcast. The views expressed on this show are solely those of the host and his guests. They are not necessarily reflective of ARMA International, ARMA Milwaukee, or the ARMA Milwaukee Board.